I was thinking as I was something that is a quote by someone else. He said, when he spoke of the Lord, and he said, if this is true, we're talking about the Word of God, God being who he said that he is. He said, if it's not true, then it really doesn't matter. If it's not true, you don't have to sit here and bother with someone trying to convey to you something that's meaningless. But then it went on to say, but if it is true, nothing matters more. Nothing matters more. As we come to hear the word of the Lord, we come to realize that what God has to say to us matters more than anything in life. In fact, it is life itself. Nothing matters more. And it's really something how we can take the things that matter the most and minimize them, while the things that really don't matter are maximized in our lives. The Lord is here to bring us to the place of changing our priorities, shifting our priorities, so that we begin to place the greater emphasis upon those things that really count. And this morning, I'm going to share some things that, in line with what I've been sharing for the last few weeks as we celebrated the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And another thing, the week or so, few weeks before that, we were celebrating the 38th year of Cross Culture Church. And I looked into that number 38 because numbers count, numbers matter. The times that we come together, it does have significance, because when you talk about 38 years, it took 38 years to arrive at this place. Don't just think when you gather together, we just showed up here and things just happened at that particular moment. But we begin to look at 38 years of the existence of this ministry, but then we look at the history of our personal lives, because God was shaping us and molding us, fashioning us, so that we can step into our destinies. And he's still doing that. I want to talk to you that are graduating and just graduated. Look at what God did. He began to take the years of your life, the days of your life, the moments of your lives, in order to fashion you and to shape you so that now you're standing where you're currently standing. It didn't just happen. Look at the parents that poured into your lives. Look at the people that spoke into your lives over the years. So all of us have history. We have histories. And you think about it. All of the histories, your personal lives that you bring together, and then God has a way of bringing us together so that now our histories are blended together, so that now God began to take your uniqueness and my uniqueness, all of our uniqueness, and bring us together and move us in one direction as a people towards the ultimate objective that he has for our lives. So in that 38 years, this is what this number 38 stands for. I mentioned it the last time. 38 signifies Christ's glory. Christ's glory. And I'm going to talk about this. In this particular, my title will be God's Glorious Grace, because I love the song, when it, Amazing Grace. It says, it was grace that brought me safe thus far. It was grace that brought me safe thus far. The place that I currently stand, it was as a result of the grace that I have arrived to the place that I'm currently standing. But the grace does not leave us where we currently stand, but the grace of God positions us for our future. He says, it is grace that brought me safe thus far. I love that. You got to think about it for a moment. That it was the grace of God that delivered you so that you're now standing where you're currently standing. Grace has brought you safe thus far. Now listen to what it's saying here. It is saying that there are variables that could have occurred within your life that would have been dangerous, that could have destroyed you, could have brought an end to your life. But grace has brought you safe thus far. Grace has brought you safe thus far, so that now you're postured to assemble. You're postured to come together as a congregation to hear the word of God, the grace of God that's being dispensed to you as a result of this communication. Because understand what God is doing. He is dispensing his grace as we hear his word. But it was the very grace that brought you safe thus far. It didn't stop there. But it is that same grace that will lead you on. The grace of God that will take you beyond your current state of being. You just graduated. You just finished. You just crossed a hurdle in your life. You just completed a chapter. It was grace that was on you that brought you to this place. But the same grace now, the grace is many faceted. There are various applications to that grace. But understand, it's the same grace. See, we begin to look at, he is the same yesterday, what? Today and forevermore. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't change, but there are many facets to his grace. Because he says that it will be the same grace, but it will be a different application to that grace that will take you beyond your current state of being. That grace will lead you on. Grace will lead you on. The grace of God will take you beyond your current state of being. So now, what is it really saying? You must rely upon him. You must trust him. You must place your confidence in him. Don't let the devil rob you because the environment changes. If you're leaving this particular environment to go on to a different environment, you're changing schools, or you're going to a different profession, a different occupation. Don't allow that to change you because the environment has changed. But understand that God is the same, so you remain constant. You remain steadfast and unmovable. Don't become a product of your environment. Don't allow the enemy to squeeze you into his mold. That's the devil's objective, is to try to get you to look like everybody around you. But you're not that way. You're there to change the environment, not to be changed by the environment. So now, as we look at what God is wanting to do, and I put three things in position, and I would say three things in particular that I believe God wants us to understand in this particular message. We have to understand the basis on which grace has been granted. The first, the basis on which grace has been granted. God has graced us, but let's understand the basis on which his grace has been granted. He didn't just grace us to grace us, but he graced us for a purpose. He graced us with a reason in mind. The second part that I want you to look at is to take full advantage of the abundant grace made available to you as a believer. To take full advantage of the grace that has been made available to you as a believer. Don't squander it. But understand, grace provides opportunities. The grace of God provides opportunities. There are opportunities that are waiting you. God has placed before you opportunities, and he's expecting you to walk into that. Walk into, take advantage of the opportunities provided as a result of the grace that God has dispensed in your direction, or has dispensed to you. Number three, listen to this now. Be positioned for God to love, for God's love to flow through you, completing his end or his purpose. You see, be positioned. Don't step outside of the love walk, but be positioned for God's love to flow through you, because it is his love dispersed abroad in our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit, by way of the Holy Ghost. He wanted to disperse his love. He wanted his love to be expressed through those instruments, through you. And understand this. Let it flow through you to accomplish his end, so that what God desired to do as a result of his love being dispensed, God is able to do because you have made yourselves available to him. Now, when we talk about grace, we have to look at these words that are connected to grace, because we understand that it is grace through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith, faith. Let's look at these words here. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God, his love bestowed upon us. Grace has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you, and it has everything to do with God. You see, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you, and it has everything to do with God. God's bestowed his grace upon us. God bestowed his grace upon us. He gave you what you didn't deserve. But then, watch this other word. Faith is our response to his initiative. Now, since he has graced us, how do you respond to his initiative? If someone is to give you what you don't deserve, how do you respond to that? How do you respond? When you get something, you said, I didn't deserve it. There's no way I could earn it. No way I could deserve it. But what's your response to that? Is it saying, Lord, I'm glad that you gave it to me and give me more? I'm glad, Lord, that you thought so much of me. So we begin to celebrate the gift of God that has been released towards us. And the Lord is saying, I want you to understand that there has to be a response to his grace. And what is response to his grace? Is faith. Faith is responding to his initiative. And watch what happens. Love, that's God expressing through us what he wills. The love, because it is his love now that begins to flow through us. Because, understand, it is faith working by what? By love. So we see the work of God, faith working by love. So now we begin to see that love being expressed through an instrument that could not love, didn't have the ability to love, but yet the Lord loves through the vessel that has appreciated the grace of God and responded by having faith. I love how Pop Mason, my spiritual dad, would always say, he said, every day I ask God to show me how to love his wife, Jerry. He called her Jerry. He said, Lord, I ask you every day to love her through me. Love her through me. In other words, he is saying that my love is inadequate. I don't know how to love her. I don't know how to love her. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But you know what to say and you know what to do. So love her through me. Love her through me. Because understand this, when you love her through me, then she's loved. I remember we talked about it while we were away. My wife and I were speaking of one time I had a little issue with Francine, and I don't want to bust your bubble now, because I know y'all figure, how can y'all have issues? Yeah, we have issues. We're human. We were having an issue, and we were having a conversation, a discussion, and God, as we're having this discussion, this conversation, I think I kind of stepped. I said something, and I don't know what I said, but whatever I said, God wasn't pleased. I didn't think it was that bad, but God saw it differently. And what he did, he began to chasten me. And he said, how dare you speak to my daughter that way? She reminds me of that all the time. And I told her, I said, the Lord just said something to me. He said, I dare you speak to my daughter that way. And I said, well, what could you say to God when God will bring that kind of correction? He said, in other words, she's my daughter. She's my daughter. And if she's your daughter, then you're my in-law, but also in love. So if I'm by law now, I've crossed the line that has been law. So he's really saying, you crossed the line because you violated a law, a principle that's been violated based upon how you spoke to her. So now he becomes father-in-law. So what I told Francine, I said, God just told me, I dare you to speak to my daughter that way. So I have to repent. I had to take a low road. But you know what? Let me get back to the verses. He brings us to that place of sonship so that we understand not only is she his daughter, but I'm also his son. So now I can turn around and say, how are you talking to God's son? But let's look at the scripture. Let's go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 is where we're beginning. It says here, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ. So what do you see? You see the safekeeping of, the safeguarding of the blessings. He has blessed us. He is blessed be the God. When he says he is the God, he is the supreme one. He is the potentate. He is the one that rules and super rules over all the affairs of those that honor him as God. But then he takes it to a different level. He's not just saying, I am your God, I am your potentate, I am your supreme one, so that you must honor me as such. But then he speaks relationally. He says, not only is he is God and Father. He is my, see, they knew him as God, but they didn't know him as Father. But here, Jesus recognized him to be God and was introducing him to those that thought they knew him. But he says, let me tell you who he is to me. He is Father. I want you to know my Father. I share my Father with you so that my Father will become our Father. Oh, that's a whole message in itself. He says now the recognition of him as God and Father. He is God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the acknowledgement of that is a blessing in and of itself. He says, you're blessed to see this. You're blessed to understand this. He says, so now, he is saying, now do you see him as the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And now do you see Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Because here the blessing is it. He said to Peter, when Peter saw him, what did Peter say? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, so you see me as I am in relation to my Father. You are the Christ. You are the Christos. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And he said the same thing here. He said, blessed. Look at the word. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Blessed are you. Your father is in the natural, the son of John. But listen to this. You've entered into a different realm of understanding because of the revelation that has been granted to you by Father. Because you could know me as the Christ, the Son of the living God, unless my Father would have made this known unto you. This can only be known by way of revelation. But the Father has made me known to you. He says, and what I'm going to do is make the Father known to you. Because through the Son, he will introduce you to the Father. So now, he is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but you're blessed because now you see him as such, and you enter into that realm of experience. You can't get there unless you see him as he is. Now he goes on to say, he said, you are blessed. What are you blessed with? With every connected to this revelation. That's why the devil would love for you to play patty cake and just get along with just surface knowledge of Christ. And that's why my heart is of such that I want you to see Christ as he is. Not to get locked into some kind of mindset or thinking concerning Christ where you just go through the motions of religion and all you do is settle for a surface knowledge of Christ. Because it's going to take more than that. When you go into this world, as you enter into different aspects of society, you're going to be challenged in this. The devil is going to try you at every hand. And there are a lot of people that cave under the pressure. I would say the majority of people, it depends on how strong the press is, people begin to fall apart under pressure. But understand what we're saying here is that as you're hearing these teachings, you might not understand why this is important. Why are you going to get to this theological discussion to understand who Christ is and the arguments that are out there? One person believe this thing, somebody else believes something else. He says, so you're making a big to-do out of nothing. But I'm saying, let me tell you something, that these things are very essential, very important for you to survive under the pressure that's going to be brought to bear against you. So now, understand this. What happened, he said, now he has blessed you because you're blessed, understand this, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in and he puts it in heavenly places so that it's not just laying on the surface. Because understand, deep calleth unto deep. Your deep issues are not resolved by surface answers. But God want to get deep with you. You said I want to go somewhere where people just tell me, you know, Jesus died and that's it. And I can live on and get my blessing and whatever my blessing is. And most time people talk about blessing, they talk about some tangible something that they can manage themselves. I'm going to get what I want right now. I'm going to get my blessing. No, God has said there are spiritual blessings, but they're kept in safekeeping in heavenly places. So how are you going to tap into the resource of God? How are you going to take advantage of what God has provided? Because you got to tap into heaven. You got to have a heavenly mind. Don't let folk fool you to think that you're too heavenly minded to be no earthly good. You're not heavenly minded enough. I'm trying to get you to focus on heaven all the more. But understand this, because heaven governs activity that takes place on the earth. As a result of seeing that, I can handle this. So now, look what he says here. Heavenly It is spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. You say, well, what happens? Yeah, there are natural things that will come our way, but understand what happens. The major emphasis is placed upon spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings, those things that will contribute, I want you to understand, contribute to our growth and development, our spiritual growth and development. Because if I become, you understand, we got to talk about grace now. If I become who God intended for me to become, not I get what God want me to get, but if I become what God want me to become, that's more important. So now, spiritual blessings, heavenly places, and where is it? It is in Christ. It is hidden in Christ. It is hidden in Christ. Hidden in Christ. So that, understand, not on the surface, but hidden in Christ. So the mysteries are in Christ. The mysteries of the spiritual blessings, the mysteries of all that God has provided is hidden in Christ. He said, and then he goes on to say, just as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, just as he has chosen us in him. And understand, he chose us to bless us. You were selected in order to receive the benefits of his blessings. Isn't that something? You didn't just arrive at this place, but God chose you. Why is it that you are able to hear this and it becomes sensible to you? Let me tell you something. This doesn't make sense to everybody. When you start talking about spiritual stuff, it doesn't make sense to everybody. But why is it making sense to you? What makes you so special? First of all, you thought you weren't special. You thought that you were just so ordinary and person, and you really didn't matter. You see, I'm trying to help you get over any areas of insecurity, because if God thought enough of you for you to receive divine revelation of who he is in Christ Jesus, then you're already special. You've been handpicked, because you think about it. What made you? We mentioned grace has brought me saved thus far. Grace will lead me on. What brought you to the place? Why were you at a place where you had an interest in more? Now, in our heart of hearts, because of the way we were made, the way we were fashioned, there's always this desire. You say, there has to be something more. There has to be something more. You see, why is it people think that my blessings are the tangibles? Then why are so many millionaires and billionaires suicidal? Why are so many people that have all the trappings of success in this life miserable? Why are they this way? Because apparently what you people are grappling after and fighting over doesn't fully satisfy. If I just had the right mate, if I just had this, if you had it, you still wouldn't be satisfied. They said those that strive after gold will not be satisfied with gold, or silver will not be satisfied. So whatever you're going, you won't be satisfied. It appears to be that which will bring a sense of satisfaction to you, because it's lacking in your life. That's the carrot that the enemy placed before you to keep you moving in a direction away from God. He will use religion. Because you say, all religions are the same. Everybody, don't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something. The enemy knows how to keep you preoccupied so that you won't have time for him. So that you're so busily engaged and so preoccupied in all of these other things that you think will bring a degree of satisfaction. But when it's all said and done, and if you're honest with yourself, because for the most part, self-deception is the greatest deception, you will have to acknowledge the fact that you're not really satisfied. You're not really content. So now, the heavenly blessings are in Christ. The heavenly blessings are in Christ. He's chosen you in him before the foundation of the world. He chose you. Now, it's a whole message that I have on predestination and to bring, because people begin to ask, where do you stand in that? Well, let me tell you something. There's truth on both sides of the argument. But I think when you start trying to pigeonhole a person into believing this way or that, whether you believe this way, you believe that, the other, oftentimes you do it at the expense of a whole lot of truth. So now, he chose before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And he says, and here he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now that's where we get to the glorious grace of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, let me just, as much as I want to grapple into some of these, but I'm going to move on now. It is God's divine enablements where God has resourced us, endowed us, in such a way that these blessings are for obedience. I have blessed you to bring you to the place of being obedient. And then he goes on to look at these words here. He says, he blessed us and predestined us, all these words are important, to adoption as sons. Now, I know he talks about adoption. This is a positional placement as sons. He positions us, this positional placement as sons, so that expressing the, so that as sons of God, we express the moral character of the Father. So that now the very character of the Father is seen in the Son. You see, to be sons of God, we're born as children of God, but then we become sons of God. We become sons of God. We reach this place of spiritual maturity so that now the very character of Christ is on display in us and through us. The moral character of Christ is given full expression in us. The earnest expectation of all creation is waiting, what? For the manifestation, not of children, but of sons. You see, that we grow into sonship. He is saying it is waiting on the mature ones to become manifest. Now, let's go on, because I want you to understand what the Lord is in fact saying to us. Because we realize that we see grace and glory. We see grace that leads to greater glory. Because what happens with grace, we talk about grace for salvation, but that grace leads to greater glory. And then we see the work of salvation, because salvation doesn't stop, but the work of salvation continues to work in us. Because we're saved in order, you hear me say this all the time, you're saved in order to what? To be saved. Yes, we're saved from sin. We're saved from the penalties of sin. We're saved, then we're saved power of sin, eventually from the very presence of sin. So we see that. Salvation is working in us, but yet we're saved. And it says, not only that, we're not to frustrate the grace of God. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't get to the place we talk about the godly potential that God has given us. Utilize all that God has given us. Utilize the gifts and realize God's objectives for our lives. Don't fall short of any of that. Now we get to saving grace. The saving grace for God's glorious work in us and through us. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. It says here, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God that delivers to us salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Now, that's where we currently stand. You see, but grace will lead us on. But looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Now listen to how Eugene Peterson puts it. God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. God's readiness to give. Grace, first of all, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. He gave it to us. He says, so now his readiness to give, but not only to give and forgive, has now been made public. Now it is said, it has been made to all. When he says, so the opportunity has been extended to everybody. He said, so this is what he's saying. I have extended this opportunity to everybody because what I said, readiness to give and forgive. So in other words, none of you are beyond forgiveness and none of you are beyond the gifts of God that he's already extended your way. In fact, the truth of the matter is you've already taken advantage of some of the gifts that God has provided because he allowed the sun to rise on the just as well as the unjust. The rain fall on the just. God has graced you. But then he goes on to say, and he's now made it public, the pronouncement is not hidden under a bushel. Right now, it is being proclaimed. Even unbelievers have opportunities to take advantage of the provisions that God has made. If you're an unbeliever, you see, you don't have to remain an unbeliever because God has extended the opportunity to everybody. And then he goes on to say, salvation's available for everyone. Then he says, we're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life. You're being instructed how to resist. He don't just tell you to resist the devil. He'll show you how to resist him. He doesn't just say, this is what you need to do. He'll show you how to do it. He says, so now you're being instructed. The reason that you're hearing this, that's why I say it's important. Because as you hear the word of God, you're coming to a deeper level of humility. He's teaching you how to yield yourself unto the Lord. Your stubbornness becomes the very thing that hinders that from happening. God is saying, what I'm doing, I give you the word. Now, when the word goes forth, how do you hear the word of God? Do you receive it as the word of God, or is there any resistance? Do you push back when God is speaking? But when you hear the word of God and that word brings you to a place where it tenderizes your heart and you say, now instead of me trying to figure out whether God's word is true or not, I'm trying to figure out how can that word become true within me? How can that word work within me so that God can accomplish his end in me and through me? So now it is saying, so he has been shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent, and I say self-indulgent life. So that it's not all about you, but it's about self-denial. It's not trying to get what you want, but the whole objective is how can I give God what he wants? How can God get what he wants out of me? And how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. How to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. That's what you want, isn't it? You want your life to be filled with God, and you want your life to honor God so that they see, when they see you, they see Christ. Look on us. You talk about the power of God manifesting. When Christ is made visible through his church, through individual believers, and then we come together as a congregation, the devil's he's on notice now. You see, he's already defeated, but then we began that defeat now has become manifest even through his people. So now this is a God-honoring, we're away from this self-indulgent, this God-filled, God-honoring life. He said this new life is starting right now. This new life is starting right now. And it is whetting our appetites for the glorious day when our great God and Savior Jesus Christ appears. It just gives us a foretaste of the glory that awaits us. What God will do in this life, he will give you just enough to whet your appetite. I love what the Bible talks about, a foretaste of glory, a foretaste of glory. When he talks about a foretaste, he's giving us a sample of what he has in store for the future. You remember my story? Some of you weren't here when I talked about my mama cooking turnip green, mustard and turnips. I love mustard and turnip green. And what happens, she would cook these mustard and turnip greens. And she'd say, I smell them and I want some, but they ain't ready yet. But what would happen as she cooked the mustard and turnip greens, the juice from the mustard and turnip greens would be ready. And they called the juice from mustard and turnip greens, they called it pot liquor. Pot liquor. I see why they call it pot liquor, because it'll get you to a place where it's habit forming. So when you get the pot liquor and you put some cornbread in the pot liquor and you eat that, you get a foretaste. You see that a taste beforehand of what the greens must be like. You said, these are going to be some good greens. Why? Because the pot liquor is off the chain. If the pot liquor's good, you best believe the greens going to be better. So what happens, the Lord will give us just enough to whet our appetite. He said, now how hungry are you? As a result of the foretaste. How hungry are you as a result of the foretaste? Did this make you hungry? What you just received, did it whet your appetite for more? You could tell if a person's born again because as newborn babes, what? They desire the sincere or earnest milk of the word that they may grow by it. So one of the expressions of life, we were talking about it the other day, and I think I mentioned it too, about a baby, when the baby is born and the mother begins to lactate. Now, y'all got to help me with this. The mother is lactating. And when the mother is lactating, what happens, the breast is being filled with milk. Why? Because that milk in the mother's breast is what the baby needs, but now the mother has a need. What is the mother's need? She need to express. You mentioned Wednesday. She need to express, right? So what happens, it is a matter of expressing on the mother's part, but it's a matter of being fed on the baby's part. So now, so both have need. I need to express. I want love to be expressed. I want to express my love. God is saying, I want my love to be expressed. I want people to know me for who I am. I'm tired of being misrepresented. I'm tired of folk thinking this way and that way and another and really never knowing me. I want to express my love. So the Lord has need of you to express. But then what happens when the Lord is expressing, what are your need? I need to be fed. So I'm being fed on what the Lord is expressing. See, so now you see, there's something about the Lord expressing that's feeding me. There's something about what the Lord is giving me that is feeding me. He is expressing his love. The Lord desired to express his love, and I need to receive his love, because as I receive his love, then I can also. Now, I'm just like him. I want to express, because that's what love is like. You can't just hold on to love, but love must be given away. So now, look what he's saying here. So now, let's look at the rest of this, because we got to, I got to cut this message way down in order to and we'll pick it up later on, because I'm just scratching the surface right now. We get to the place where it whets appetite for the glorious day when our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, appears. The day will come when he appears. He fills us to the full. When Jesus appears, what silver and gold couldn't do, his appearance does. You see, what happens? We get just enough. We get a glimpse as we're worshiping. How many of you sense that? We're worshiping God. Did that word, those words during worship, what did it do inside of you? You know, I'm reaching for a tissue because it's just messing with my insides. You follow? There's something going on when it worship. I don't understand it. How can you be in an environment where worship is taking place and just sit there like, now don't fake it now. Don't fake it. Because there are a lot of people trying to fake it. They say, well, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. No. Just ask God, Lord, bring me to the place where your reality becomes my reality. Your world becomes my world. Your life becomes my life. So that I can sense what you're sensing. And I can feed from your fullness. So now, look what it says here. I'm just going to end at Titus then. How's that? And then we'll do communion. So now, we understand life starting now, the day when Jesus shows up, we come to that place of fullness. You said, now, Lord, I didn't know what fullness was until I saw you for who you really are. See, they tried to tell me that you were different. They tried to tell me that you were this way, that way, or the other. I really had no clue that you were all of this and more. I didn't know. You mean to tell me I settled for that when I could have had this? I settled for a thrill when I could have fulfillment? Why would I sacrifice so much to receive in exchange so little? I just didn't know. I didn't, the starting point, grace thus far on, I didn't get a good launching. Oh, when you go to school, and when you go into your jobs, I trust you'll have a good launching. That all of these words will not fall to the ground. But you will understand that God that we speak of is greater than every thing that the enemy will try to offer you. Every offer of the enemy. Those things, you say, I want y'all to be a part of this and be a part of that. You need to be a part of this. This is what's really happening. This is where it really is. You mean I'm going to give up this for that? See, wait a minute. God is too valuable to me to give up this for that. And I'm too valuable to sacrifice who I am for what you're offering me. They're coming now. They're coming. I'm telling you, high schoolers, they're coming. They've probably already come. The offers have already come, and they're going to continue to come, and they're going to be so attractive. They're going to look like, I don't see how. You see, when you're trapped, you see, sometimes you don't see how you're going to get out of a situation. Have you ever been in a situation where it just didn't make sense to escape? Because it made more sense to yield than it did to escape. You say, I might as well give in. I might as well give in to it because after all, I want it. It looked good. The apple, you know, the fruit, whatever it was. It looked good, smelled good, probably tastes good. So why should I give up this that I have the burden of hand for what I'm expecting in the future? His glorious appearance. I want to give you a foretaste of what God has provided even before you get the full meal. He said, so let that carry you. Let that carry you to realize that there's a better meal awaiting. So now, look at this. Look at this. So now we begin to look at it. He has shown us He has offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good, pure life, making us a people he can be proud of, energetic in goodness. He didn't just say in goodness, but energetic in goodness. You have energy. You are empowered to do the things of God. Now, that's what I want to talk about, the grace. I'm going to talk about justification next week and all that too. But the whole thing is that now you're being empowered to do good. You're not just saved in order to be saved, but you're saved in order to do great works. He says, so tell them all this. Build up their courage and discipline them if they get out of line. Don't let them settle for anything less than this. You're in charge. Don't let anybody put you down. Don't let anybody put you down. Now, what we have to understand is that saving grace is the launching. But then God has enough grace to keep you. You see, the grace that got you started on this journey was for the launching. But don't minimize God to his beginnings. Don't ever think that God is only sufficient to get you started. He's more than that. You just ain't seen enough of him. He doesn't just get you started on a journey. That's not all. You see, I'm saved. I'm saved. Yeah, you're saved. That's just the beginning. Yeah, you're saved. Yeah, you're saved. Even those of you, everyone that's confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and really meant it is saved. You're saved. You're saved. You say, that's okay. You confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You know what the enemy is out trying to do? He's going to keep working on you. He's going to keep working on you so that now he's going to make that initial, reduce that initial to merely some kind of ceremonial act. I did something, but what did I really do? We mentioned he saved you. But understand, he wants to build you up now. He wants to develop you. He has something in mind as to what you ought to look like when he finished with you. The Lord already has it. He has something in mind. He said, this is why I saved you, because I see the finished product. He said, you don't see it, but you wait and I finish with you. When I finish with you, he said, but I'm going to tell you something now. You're going to go through some stuff. We mentioned 38 years. You're going to go through some challenges. There's going to be some changes that you wouldn't fully understand. You're going to wonder, why was this twist and turn necessary? God said, he said, just hold on, because I want your trust and confidence in me to be constant, not confidence in me to do what you will, but for me to do as I will, as I please. And you're testing and you're trying, and the trying of your faith is working patience within you. God is saying, I'm fashioning you. And you say, Lord, I thought that was all there was to life. But now, why did I face all this? When I first got saved, y'all, I was on a honeymoon. Looked like I was charmed. Everything was coming together my way. And then a few months later, everything fell apart. And I said, wait a minute, I prayed to God. I said, Lord, if I had known that this is what you had up, I wouldn't have gotten saved in the first place. Why did I get saved? I get saved in order to face, and friends gone, lonely, nothing happening. All of this because I got saved. Thought I was doing something good. I really thought I was doing something good. I said, after living a particular way. I thought I was really doing something good. But now my whole life looked like every, not my life falling apart, everything around me is falling apart. Life hadn't fallen apart. Life is together, but everything around me is falling apart. So, Lord, if I'd known this, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I would have gotten saved. So, Lord, I actually prayed this. Lord, let me go back. Let me go back. So I called myself going back, moved to Atlanta. I said, nobody know me here. When I get to Atlanta, I'm going to do all the stuff that I would have been doing if I wasn't saved. How do unsaved people act? They go to the club. They go to Mr. V's and Cisco's. Y'all don't know about those places. I'm out in Cisco's and Mr. V's. And I'm standing there and I'm going to get on the dance floor and I'm trying to fit. And I feel like a lost ball in high weeds. All while I'm out there, what you doing out here? What you doing out here? I said, nobody's know me, so why shouldn't I be out here? But God knows. You're in the wrong place for who you become. Are you hearing me now? You're in the wrong place for who you become. I didn't forget, even though you forgot. I didn't forget what I did in your life. You're trying to forget what I did, but I didn't forget. 2 weeks of that. Well, I don't fit. Might as well go back home. Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. I had changed residences already. But somehow, some way, I was trying to forget where my new house was. Just like some of you might be, even to this day, where Christ is your new home. That's your new home. I'm going to pray. And as I pray this afternoon, I'm trusting that some wayward individual is going to recognize where they belong. They're going to recognize where they belong. I believe, I'm trusting that some person that's trying to find answers for life will come to a resolve that the only place to find true peace is in Christ. I trust that there'll be some in this place that will come to that resolve. There'll be some that begin to try to philosophize and theorize everything, and they get lost in this quagmire of knowledge. As knowledge has increased, they'll come to the place of understanding it's the simplicity of submission to Christ that will bring you to the place of greater knowledge. So as I pray, you don't have to wait till the prayer's ended. I want you to start getting up from wherever you are and begin to make your way to the front. If you're serious about this thing, you begin to make your way to the front here now. Ministers will be standing here even as we pray and as we prepare for communion. You begin to make your way to the front. Begin to come as they're coming. Don't wait for others. You just begin to come and say, that's me, that's me. God is speaking to my life. God is speaking to my heart. And I'm seeing this thing for what it really is. I'm seeing it for what it really is. You begin to come. Move with them. Move with the ones that's moving now. Begin to come forward. The Lord is making himself known. He's making his presence known to you, even on this day. Before you come and receive Holy Communion, come to the Lord and get right whatever needs to be righted, whatever needs to be straightened out. Come and get it straight now. Get it straight now. And Father, move mightily in this place. Move mightily among your people. Lord, my prayer is that this will be a turning point for those that have come to this place, that there'll be a hunger for righteousness. They will come to the place of realizing that nothing can really satisfy. Nothing can bring the level of satisfaction other than Christ. So, Lord, my prayer is that he will be seen for he is, that they will feed upon his goodness. They will feast upon his goodness. Those that's in this place will realize, oh Lord, that as you desire to express your love, and you have so much love to give, that love would not be, it would not be rejected. It would not be rejected. It would not be rejected. That's the only thing. When people don't respond, you're rejecting the love. You're saying, okay, Lord, you love me, and you've graced me, but I have some other things to do right now. No, your love would not be rejected. Your love would not be rejected. I receive your love. I've received benefits of your love already. But now I'm saying, Lord, I receive the fullness of your love. I want you to be who you are in me. If that's you, come now, come. If there are others that need to come, these ministers are standing here that they may minister to you. Anybody else, come. Don't let this day pass you by without responding to the Lord.